Veda Bhagavat Upanishadagam Punatattva Yandrikari Nahi Andrasam. The personality of Godhead is he who is described as the absolute whole in the Vedas, Bhagavatam, Upanishad, and other transcendental literatures. No one is equal to him.
Bhakti yogi bhakti paya yanhara darshan surya yena savigraha deke devagan.
Through their service, devotees see that the personality of Godhead, just as the denizens of heaven see the personality of the sun.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead has his eternal form, which cannot be seen by material eyes or mental speculation. Only by transcendental devotional service can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. The comparison is made here to the qualifications for viewing the personal features of the sun god. The sun god is a person who, although not visible to our eyes, is seen from the higher planets by the demigods, whose eyes are suitable for seeing through the glaring sunshine that surrounds him. Every planet has its own atmosphere according to the influence of the arrangement of material nature. It is therefore necessary to have a particular type of bodily construction to reach each particular planet. The inhabitants of Earth may be able to reach the moon, but the inhabitants of heaven can reach even the fiery sphere called the sun. What is impossible for man on earth is easy for the demigods in heaven because of their different bodies. Similarly, to see the Supreme Lord, one must have the spiritual eyes of devotional service. The personality of Godhead is unapproachable by those who are habituated to speculation about the absolute truth in terms of experimental scientific thought, without reference to the transcendental vibration. The ascending approach to the absolute truth ends in realization of the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma, but not the supreme transcendental personality.
Jnana yoga marge tandra bhaje yeva sab Brahma Atma Rupetanri Koryanubhav.
Those who walk the paths of knowledge in yoga worship only him, for it is him they perceive as the impersonal Brahman and the localized Paramatma.
Upasana Bhedejani Ishvara Mahima Atayeva Suryatandra Diyete Upama.
Thus one may understand the glories of the Lord through different modes of worship, as the example of the sun illustrates.
Se Narayan Krishner Swarupa Vedhe Ekai Vigraha Kintu Akara Vibed.
Narayan and Lord Sri Krishna are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but although they are identical, their bodily features are different.
Inho Tadvi Bhuja Tino Dhari Charihat Inho Venu Dhari Tinho Chakradika Sat.
This personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has two hands and holds a flute, whereas the other, Narayan, has four hands with conch, wheel, mace, and lotus.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Narayan is identical to Sri Krishna. They are in fact the same person manifested differently, like a high court judge who is differently situated in his office and at home. As Narayan, the Lord is manifested with four hands, but as Krishna, he is manifested with two hands. So this particular section of the second chapter of Adi Lila, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is going into very deep and profound detail, explaining exactly who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is establishing that he is the absolute truth. He is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the source of the Paramatma. And in previous slokas, with wonderful elaborations by Srila Prabhupada, he extracts from various of the Vedic literatures substantial authorized evidence which proves that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna himself. Because, of course, when we are preaching, even those favorable Vaishnavas, they consider that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a great prophet, was a pure devotee of the Lord, was a great acharya. But we offer all respects for anyone who will offer respects to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on any level. But for our own faith, we must be firmly, solidly fixed that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the absolute truth. The entirety of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is based on this principle, as well as the Chaitanya Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Mangala. All of the great biographies of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu substantially establish from the beginning to the end that Lord Nityananda is none other than Balaram in his full opulence, and that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Sri Krishna. Brajandra Nandana Jai Shachi Shuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nitai. The difference between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Krishna in opulence, in personality, they are identical. It is explained very, very deeply here in this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita how the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself in various incarnations. First Lord Narayan, or first Lord Sri Krishna in Goloka. On that planet of Goloka, it is described, there are three different sections, Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. And from the Dwarka, first Krishna expands himself as Balaram. Balaram expands himself as the whole planet of Goloka Vrindavan. It is the energy of Sri Balaram, Guru Tattva. Why is it called Guru Tattva? Because everything in Goloka Vrindavan is meant for the service of Krishna, and Guru means the original servant of Sri Krishna. Then that Balaram in the Vrindavan section expands himself as Shankarshan, who appears in the Dwarka neighborhood of Goloka. That Shankarshan expands himself as the Chaturvyuha, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, Prajumana, Vasudeva, and the Vaikuntha planets. Those, they expand themselves, that Shankarshan of the expands himself as Narayan in Vaikuntha. That Lord Narayan expands himself as the secondary Chaturvyuha. We have already discussed these things. And then expansion from there is Karanadakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, who creates all the universes from the pores of his body upon his exhalation. Mahavishnu expands himself as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who appears in each and every universe. That Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, from him Lord Brahma is created from the lotus that sprouts from his navel. Garbhodakshaya Vishnu empowers Lord Brahma for the purpose of creating the 14 planetary systems and so forth within the universe, and all the detailed necessities for each universe, all species of life. And then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu expands himself as Kshirovakshaya Vishnu to reside within the heart of every living being, as well as on the planet of Swetadweep, which is a Vaikuntha spiritual planet within each universe. And when the demigods are having great difficulty due to the heavy burden of demons, they, behind Lord Brahma, they go to the ocean of milk. And there they pray to the Lord Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who is seated in this island in the ocean of milk called Swetadweep. And through him all incarnations come. Kurmadev, Vamanadev, Matsyavatar, Narasingha Avatar, Rama Avatar. They are all incarnations coming through this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, his whole purpose explaining this whole hierarchy of incarnations of the Lord is to show us that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an incarnation of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, simply. He is not an incarnation of of any of these Purushavatars or Leelavatars, but he is none other than the original cause, Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He is Krishna himself, in full opulence, full manifestation, the original personality of Godhead. But what is the difference? The difference is in Vrindavan, only very confidential few people who have attained the highest status of love of God can gain entrance into the association of Radha and Krishna. But that same Radha appears together with Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Narayana. They have appeared in one form to distribute the love of Vrindavan profusely, indiscriminately, everywhere. So it is magnanimity. It is this complete giving of the Lord, of pure love, to everyone that makes the difference between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. Vrindavan is a place where if you commit an offense in Vrindavan, it is held 100 times against you. If you make advancement in Vrindavan, you get 100 times the credit. But in Navadvip, if you make any advancement, you get 100 times the credit. And if you make an offense, it is not even considered. This is the glory of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in these chapters, he is expanding in such a wonderful way, according to Shastric evidence, to prove the prophecies of the scriptures, the prophecies of Vedavyas, of the coming of the Supreme Absolute Truth in the form of Lord Shiva Ranga Mahaprabhu. And of course, we are learning these things very carefully. And Srila Madhavendra Puri has described, and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also describes later on in the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the only possible means of understanding the scriptures is by the mercy of the great devotees of the Lord. That the hidden essence of the shastras are unknown to anyone except the pure devotees who have surrendered everything to the Lord. And to understand the essence of the scriptures can only be revealed by such a pure devotee. Through countless millions of lifetimes of studying the Vedas, you will never understand what is Krishna. Only the pure devotee understands, and only he can reveal the essence. And of course, of all the great acharyas in our disciplic line, there is no one who has so profusely provided the world with transcendental literature to establish the real and true position of bhakti as the supreme and only path to Godhead and the genuine understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one so much as Srila Jiva Goswami. Yesterday happens to be his disappearance day. And because Jiva Goswami is such an immensely important personality in every one of our lives, although his disappearance day was yesterday because we did not find out until it was too late, it is very important, I believe, that we should discuss some of the basic principles of the life of Srila Jiva Goswami. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami that there were three brothers, Rup, Sanatan, and Anupam. They are originally coming from Karnataka in South India. They are from Saraswat Brahmin community. But their ancestors, some generations before, migrated to Bengal. Now, Rup, Sanatan, and Anupam, they were so influential, and they were such powerful devotees of Lord Sri Krishna. They were so learned in every regard that they literally won the love of everyone. So when the Nawab Hussein Shah conquered Bengal, he was a very, very atrocious Muslim invader. And he wanted all of the Hindus, who were obviously the vast majority, to serve him and be obedient to him as subjects as far as possible. He realized the only way this was possible is if Rupa, Sanatana, and Anupam were to be his ministers, and by their example and by their instructions taught the citizens to be loyal to the king. So, of course, they were not at all inclined. But when now Hussein Shah approached them, he threatened them. He said, if you become my ministers, if you serve me faithfully and show the common people in general the proper way of being my subjects, then I will give all freedom and facility to all the Hindus to worship their God. And I'll give you great, great facility to teach them whatever you like. But if you do not take this position, I will persecute all Hindus, I will destroy their temples, I will torture them, and I will torture you as well. So, out of compassion, out of utter compassion for the people in general, Sanatana Goswami became the Prime Minister. And Rupa Goswami became a very high-posted minister, as well as Anupam, the three brothers. They were given the names the Birkas, Saka, Malik. Now it is described that Rupan, Sanatan, and Anupam were very, very unhappy, years and years and years. But they were rendering such loyal service that the king was completely dependent on, especially Sanatan Goswami, in all regards of running the state. And the king actually learned to love him as a brother. And he was sharing everything he had with them. They had a very, very intimate relationship in this regard. And he had such complete faith and trust in the qualities of Sanatana Goswami. Such a great devotee, even the heart of such a malecha murderer, he won his heart. He actually melted his heart. There was real affection. So, their mother always very much disturbed, because she was a great Vaishnavi. And why my children, they are in this terrible service for this very demoniac person. So Rupa and Sanatan were also always thinking in great anxiety. And in their homes, they were worshipping the beautiful deity of Sri Krishna. They also had built beautiful gardens, which they called Vrindavan. And they would go into those gardens and they would read Bhagavatam and they would chant the holy names and all these things. And in this way, they were just trying to somehow or other keep their mind on Krishna despite their very materialistic demands by the now Hussein Shah. But all the while, they were thinking how we are wasting the precious moments of life. Bhagavatam explains it. With every moment, our life is being consumed by time. Every moment should be utilized for the highest purpose, for the highest goal. We are utilizing so many hours, so many days, so many weeks, months, and years in waste. So their mother told them that the Lord Sri Krishna, he has appeared in Navadvipa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is now living in Jagannath Puri. He has taken sannyas. Why don't you write letter to him and ask him what you should do? On the basis of this, they wrote letter. No reply. They wrote another letter. No reply. They wrote another, many, many letters, no replies. Finally, they got one reply. And it was only a one-line reply. They explained their whole situation in great detail to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one-line reply. And that was that if a wife is attracted to another man other than her husband, she should do her duties very, very carefully for her husband and wait till the right time when she can go to be with her paramour once and for all. So when they saw, they understood what he meant, that they should just go on and wait for his causeless mercy. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to Vrindavan, you know, there's a beautiful story of how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many, many times, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But his devotees were always finding some excuse why he should not go.
Why?
Because they were afraid once he goes, he may never come back. Because once they understood he was Krishna. Once he returns to Vrindavan, why will he ever want to go anywhere else? And just the thought of separation from him was so terribly painful that they were doing everything they can to persuade him to remain. But alas, because it was his strong desire, and ultimately their only desire was to please him, they gave him support and blessings. Lord Chaitanya was so affectionate to his devotees. Although he is a supreme independent Godhead himself, he will not do anything without the blessings of his devotees. He could have left, but he would not. Because the Lord is bound by the love of his bhaktas. So on this trip, he traveled. And as he was traveling, he was dancing so beautifully, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. And as he was walking, more and more people were following him, just giving up their homes. They didn't, once they saw the beautiful dance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they saw his love and they heard the sweet sound of the name emanating from his divine lips. They were thinking, who cares about my job, my home, my family, my property? They just renounced everything and started following him. And town after town, village after village, soon there were hundreds and thousands of people behind him. And every place he would step, they would just start taking the dust from his lotus feet, so there were just big holes everywhere on the road. Thus he came to the capital of the Nawab Husain Shah, which in those days was Ramakeli. Now while he was at Ramakeli, he was performing wonderful kirtan. And the Nawab Husain Shah heard news from his agents. There was some very, very special saint, and people are worshipping him, and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people are coming to hear him and see him chanting and dancing. So he asked Rupa and Sanatan, "Who is this man?" Rupa and Sanatan said, "Don't, it's all exaggeration, it's not such a big thing, we have already done our..." Because they were afraid he may be harassed. Now they had already been convinced that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the mercy of Paramatma in the heart. And because they had heard the Leela of the Lord, and they were such great scholars of the Vedas, they could immediately understand that this is who Vyasadeva has been talking about in so many indirect ways. So one night, they secretly, Anupam, came along with Rupa and Sanatan. They came to the residence, and there they met Lord Nityananda and Srila Haridas Thakur. And they brought them into the personal association of Sri Gauranga. And there they fell flat in their dandavat pranams and were crying bitterly, thinking how fallen they were. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally lifted them with his own hands. And they began to appeal to the Lord that we are so fallen, we are so unfortunate, that even Jagai and Madhai are far more purified and exalted than us. Because although they engaged in so many abominable activities, they never became the menial servant of Malechas and Yavanas. We feel that to attain your mercy is more difficult than for a dwarf to touch the moon with his finger. But you are Patita Pavan Avatar. If you do not show us your mercy, we have no hope. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon hearing their words, he embraced them, soaked them with his tears, said, "Your humility is breaking my heart. It is humility alone that can purchase the heart of God." So at that time he instructed Rupa, Sanatan, and Anupam to leave their families, to leave their governmental posts, and to go to Brajadham. He said, I will meet you there. I am also going there." And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to a place on the way called, it was a small village, and there he realized that he should not go to Vrindavan with so many followers. He remembered that Sanatana Goswami, before he left, told him that, "My Lord, Vrindavan is a secluded place. It is better if you go alone or with one other, not with so many masses of people." Kanai Natavsala, that is the name of the village. So he returned. Now this is very interesting, because Kanai Natavsala and Ramakeli are not on the way to Vrindavan directly. It's way out of the way. And the next time he went to Vrindavan, he did not go that way. He went through the Jarikanda forest. So actually, he is the knower of past, present, and future. And he actually went to Ramakeli just for the purpose of delivering Rupa Sanatana Anupam. Now, one thing that is mentioned in the Bhakti Ratnakara that is not explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is during the time when Rupa Sanatana Anupam were meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this private quarters in the night in Ramakeli, the only son of Anupam, whose name was Jiva, he was just a small little boy. He used to hear his uncles and his father discussing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so much that he was very much anxious to have darshan himself. So he secretly, privately, he went to see and to hear. And he heard their discussion and saw it. And when he saw the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and heard his divine words, divine love awakened within his heart at that time.
Ramakeli? He went all the way himself?
They were living in Ramakeli.
Oh, okay.
The three brothers were living in Ramakeli because that's where the government, like the parliament.
So they just went to his place.
They just, very short distance from their house to his house. Jiva had the first darshan of Gauranga Mahaprabhu then, and from that time he could not think of anything else. Mm. And then, of course, Jiva was left with his mother, and Anupam and Rupa, they left their government services and went to Vrindavan. You know the story. Sanatan had to stay for some time. Later he was put into prison, and later, by the help of Srila Rupa Goswami, he went to Vrindavan. Now, when Sanatan went to Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami and Anupam had already left to go to Jagannath Puri to Sri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When they reached Bengal, Anupam left his body. He went back to the spiritual world. And Rupa Goswami went himself to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. Now when the news came to little Jiva that Anupam, his father, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also called Balabha, he left his body, he was just in too much grief. And he was thinking, all I want to do is I simply want to be with my uncles Rupa Sanatan and worship this beautiful form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he was a little child, he had such natural affection for Krishna and Balaram that it is described that he made, with his own hands, he made little deities of Krishna and Balaram, and they were his constant companions. He wasn't concerned with friends, he wasn't concerned with sports, he wasn't concerned with games. Only one thing was on his mind 24 hours a day, serving Krishna and Balaram. While everyone else, little children, they were doing all their games, he would put Krishna and Balaram on the ground, make a little altar for them, put leaves around them, he would offer them incense, he would go and get some sweets and some food and offer them food, he would dance before them, he would chant before them. This was his constant service. Although he was so beautiful, describes the Jiva Goswami, his qualities, he had all the qualities of a great soul explained in the Shastra. Elongated arms, lotus eyes, various moon-like shapes and complexion throughout his whole body. And he was so much attractive to everyone. He was so gentle, so sweet, so kind to all, so obedient. But his only interest was serving Krishna and Balaram. And it is described he would never be without them. Even when he would go to sleep at night, he would put one in each arm. He would keep them on his chest, and he would go to sleep with Krishna and Balaram every night. And while he was sleeping, he would simply have dreams of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan each night. And sometimes, although such a young child, when he would be worshipping Krishna and Balaram, tears would just flow like rivers from his eyes, his limbs would tremble. Sometimes he would fall unconscious in ecstatic love. But one day when he was resting with Krishna and Balaram in his loving embrace, he had a vision which appeared in the form of a dream. And Krishna and Balaram, in their original forms, were standing before him. And Krishna, his body, right before his eyes, transformed into the beautiful form of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And Sri Balaramji, right before his eyes, his body transformed into the divine personality of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So this brought him the greatest ecstatic happiness. And his only desire in life was simply, he wanted to leave his home and worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu in the association of his two illustrious uncles, Rupa and Sanatana. But he was the only son, and he was still a very young child, and his mother was very much concerned that he stay home. So it is described that Jiva, one day, he made an excuse that he would go to his ancestral home. I believe the name of it was Faithabad in Bengal. So his mother arranged a boat to take him there. So when he got on the boat, he told the boatman, "You take me to Navadweep." So they sailed down the Ganges and he went to Navadweep. And when he arrived in Navadweep, Lord Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had recently left the planet at this time, but Lord Nityananda was there, feeling the pangs of separation from the Lord. And when he met Sriman Nityananda Prabhu, it was such a joyous, ecstatic occasion in the Navadvip Mahatmya by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. This is described in great detail, how Jiva Goswami fell at the feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and surrendered his life wholesale in his loving service. And at that time, Lord Nityananda took him to the house of Srivas Thakur, took him to the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he took him to the residence of Jagannath Mishra, where Sachi Mata and Vishnupriya were still living, deeply engrossed in separation from the Lord. And Sachi Mata and Vishnupriya personally cooked for this beautiful little Jiva and Lord Nityananda. And then the servant of Sachi Mata, Bamsi Vadana, he decided to take Lord Nityananda and Jiva on a parikram of all the nine islands of Navadvipa to show all the important places of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela and introduce Jiva Goswami to all of the still remaining associates of the Lord. So for some days, Jiva Goswami, in great ecstasy, was given this wonderful, wonderful benediction. In fact, when they were at the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Nityananda began to sing kirtan. And when he began to sing kirtan, right before Jiva Goswami's eyes, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and started dancing. And soon he saw Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, everyone, all of his associates, they were all Swarup Damodar having wonderful ecstatic kirtan. And Jiva Goswami simply joined in the kirtan and ultimately he fainted unconscious in ecstatic love. So after this beautiful parikram tour of Navadvip Dham, Nityananda Prabhu told Jiva Goswami that Lord Gaurasundar has given Vrindavan to your family, so you should go and join your uncles there. But go first through Varanasi, and there you should study Sanskrit, and you should study the Shastras from one very, very great disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, whose name is Madhusudan Vachaspati. So Jiva Goswami went to Varanasi. Well, actually he went to Varanasi, and there he studied under Madhu. First he went home to his mother, but soon after that his mother died. Then he went to Varanasi, and he studied under Madhusudan Vachaspati, who was the greatest scholar and teacher in all of India, besides Rupa and Sanatana themselves. And he practically instantly became his most proficient and beloved of all students. Soon after studying, he departed for Vrindavan. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, it is described that when Srila Jiva Goswami arrived in Vrindavan, there was such a warm welcome for him. Rup Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami, Bhugarva Acharya, Lokanath Goswami, Kashishwar Pandit, all these very, very, very great intimate associates of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they all greeted him there. And they took him under their personal care. So Jiva Goswami approached his eldest uncle, Sanatan, and asked to be accepted as a disciple. Now Rupa Goswami was also a disciple of Sanatan Goswami. He was the senior most of the Goswamis. So Jiva approached him and asked, "Will you be my Guru Maharaj? Will you give me Diksha?" And Sanatan Goswami told him that you should accept Diksha from Rupa Goswami. So under Sanatan's instruction, Jiva Goswami approached Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami said, taking Diksha in this line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not such a cheap thing that you just ask and you get. Because what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching? Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das Das Anudas. That the only means of approaching Krishna is to be the servant of the servant of the servant, the insignificant servant of all the devotees of the Lord. So as Guru, I must teach you how to be a menial servant before I can truly accept you as a disciple. So Rupa Goswami engaged Jiva in so much little menial service. Just, he would do cleaning, he would wash the paraphernalia for the deities, wash their plates, he would make things for the deities in that way, he would keep things clean nicely, he would assist in doing research for Rupa Goswami's writings. And this way, for some time, he showed himself to be attached to nothing but the humble service of the Vaishnavas. And at that time, Rupa Goswami initiated him and accepted him as disciple. It is described that Jiva Goswami became the most dearly beloved of all the Goswamis of Vrindavan. And all the Vrijavasis simply fell in love with him. He went to Vrindavan when he was 20 years old when he arrived, so he was still very young. And just shortly after he had arrived and accepted Rupa Goswami as his Gurudev, it is described there was one pundit. His name was Rup Narayan. And this pundit called himself Digvijay Pandit because he was such a great scholar and so expert at debate that he had traveled through all parts of India defeating everyone. And whenever he would defeat someone, he would have them sign what is called Digvijay Patra, which means the letter that I have been defeated by Rup Narayan. But wherever he went in India, he kept hearing the same thing. That you can defeat me, but you'll never defeat Rup and Sanatan in Vrindavan. They are the greatest scholars. So he came to Vrindavan. And he said, I want to challenge you to a debate. These are my credentials. Rupa and Sanatan said, there's no need to debate with us. You are better. You have so many qualifications. You have so many credibilities. We are just simple Vrijavasis here in Vrindavan. We cannot. It will be a waste of your time to debate with such simple men as us. So we admit defeat. Then sign this letter. So Rupa and Sanatan signed. But then, from all over Vrindavan, Rupa Narayan was hearing that the nephew of Rupa Sanatan was a very young man, he was only in his 20s, but he was very much becoming very highly learned, and very soon he would be considered the greatest of all scholars. So he was thinking, while I'm here, I should defeat him. Once I defeat him, then there's nothing else. I am the supreme. So he went to Jiva Goswami, who was on the bank of Jamuna. He met him there. He said, Jiva, I have come to challenge you to debate. I have defeated your uncle, Rupa and Sanatan. Jiva goes, what do you mean you defeat? Nobody can defeat my uncle, Rupa. I have it right here. Digvijay Patra, Rupa Narayan has defeated me in debate, Rupa Sanatan Goswami. Jiva could understand. My uncles are so humble.
this man is so intoxicated by pride, he can't see the humility. He actually thinks he's better than these great. This is a disgrace. He will ruin the names of my good uncle. So Rup Narayan said, so I challenge you to debate. You must accept it or sign. Sri Goswami said, I will accept the debate. They sat on Jamuna for 7 days, having a fierce debate. And after 7 days, Rup Narayan was defeated. And he became so much embarrassed, so much ashamed, the first time he was ever defeated by anyone in his life, what to speak of a 20-year-old child. He left Vrindavan in total disgrace, never to return. So Jiva Goswami went back to Srila Rupa Goswami and explained to him what had taken place. And Rupa Goswami became very angry. Very angry. He said that this isn't, that you have transgressed the principles of humility. He said, we are not concerned with name, we are not concerned with fame, we are not concerned with reputation, we are only concerned with the loving service of the Lord. For a resident of Vrindavan to waste his time with all these mundane debates, with such a mundane personality, simply for some name and fame, is unbecoming. And such a person who's so attached to false pride has no right to live in Vrindavan. Only a selfless, prideless, humble servant is allowed to live in Vrindavan. So therefore, Jiva, you must go. So Jiva Goswami offered his prostrate obeisances, and he left Vrindavan, and he went to Mathura, and there he simply cried and performed tapasya. And when Sanatan Goswami heard about this, he approached Rupa Goswami, and he said, Rupa, you know the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Rupa Goswami said, some things I know. He said, well, there is one most important principle that you are not following. And Rupa Goswami said, he was very humble. He said, well, please tell me what I am not following, and I will try my best. And then he told him, you missed out. You repeat. What are the most important principles? And as he was speaking, he came to the principle of jivadoi, compassion to the jivas. And as soon as he said it, he could understand that Sanatana was playing a joke on him. He said, you're supposed to be compassionate to jivas, why are you not compassionate to Jiva? So then Rupa Goswami called Jiva Goswami back. And a similar incident like this took place shortly after. Srila Balabhacharya of the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, he came to visit Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan. At this time, Jiva was still just a student of theirs. And Balabhacharya, he was older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered him great respect. And therefore, Rupa and Sanatan, they knew that he was a very, very great exalted Vaishnava, and because he was so much senior in years, they bowed down before him, and they offered him very, very great respect. So Balabha was asking him, you know, what are you doing, Rupa? What writings are you working on? He said, I am writing a book called the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Can you read some of it to me? So Rupa Goswami began to read the Mangala Charana, the introductory invocation verses. And Balabhacharya, when he heard that, he said, this is very beautiful, it's very wonderful. But there are certain principles in this that are not exactly correct, what you have said. So Rupa Goswami, out of so much humility, he said, if it is not correct, he said, you take this manuscript, I have great faith and respect in you, and you just correct however you want it to be. Balabhacharya said, yes, I will do. And then Rupa Goswami went to take his bath in the Jamuna. After Rupa Goswami went for the Jamuna, Balabha looked at Jiva, this young man. He said, who are you? He said, I am the student of Rupa Goswami. I am his disciple and his humble servant. And he said, can you tell me what is wrong with my Guru Maharaj's writings? So Balabhacharya started pointing out the errors that he considered. And Jiva Goswami, very politely, very humbly, He explained what his Guru Maharaj was meaning to say. And Balabhacharya was completely defeated on every point in a very gracious and loving way. And then Balabha was thinking, my God, if this is a student, if this is the disciple of Rupa Goswami, who's so pure and so learned and so empowered, I can't imagine what this Rupa Goswami is. So he immediately went to the Jamuna, and Rupa Goswami was just coming out of his bath, and Balabhacharya fell prostrate at Rupa Goswami's feet, begged, please forgive me, please forgive me. I out of my arrogance and impudence, I didn't understand your glory. If your disciple is so learned, I can't even comprehend who you are. He said that perfectly you have composed the scripture. There is absolutely no flaw. He said that perfectly you have composed the scripture. There is absolutely no flaw. It is only the flaw in my own eyes that was seeing. So please, please, take your book back. Everything is just fine, and accept my obeisances. And then Balabhacharya, with great love in his heart, he departed. So Rupa Goswami came back from Jamuna, came back to his ashram, said to Jiva Goswami, why you did like this? Don't you see he's a senior Vaishnav? He's older than us. He's an associate of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He's very, very learned, very pure. He said, out of proper etiquette for this man's divine position, you should have tolerated whatever he may have said against me. Why you had to stand up and go against such a senior Vaishnav? This, you have again transgressed the principles of humility. So Jiva Goswami felt so bad that he believed his Guru Maharaj, that he fell down to pride, and he was thinking, I'm such a proud person, I have no humility, I'm so fallen. So he went to a place in Braja called Nandagat. That is the place where Nanda Maharaj was swallowed by the, that's where he was not swallowed, but that's where he was captured by the representatives of Varuna for bathing at the wrong time. So he went to that holy place of Nandagat. Today you can go there if you like. And there, at that part of Braj, it's very isolated. Hardly anyone is living there. There used to be many crocodiles that lived in Jamuna. And they used to dig holes in the ground, and they used to live in holes. So there was one empty hole in the ground where a crocodile had vacated. So Jiva Goswami simply crawled into that hole. And he was feeling so much offensive to Krishna, to Rupa, and to Sanatana that he simply cried day and night. He did not eat. He did not sleep. He simply cried day and night. And he would be crying out, Krishna, Krishna, Rupa, Sanatana. And in this way he spent a long time. And because of this, he became very emaciated. And sometimes people, out of complete sympathy for him, there was a very poor village close by called Baigao. And the people from that village would leave him some chapati flour that he could cook. But he would just add some Jamuna water to it and eat it. And then this way he got disease of the stomach. And then he couldn't eat anything after that. So he was living like this, in repentance, because he considered he was not properly behaving as a humble servant. So one day Sanatan, he used to do Madhukari and do Parikram of all of Brajadham. He came to this village of Baigao. And everyone had heard of Sanatana. Sanatana was the supreme most of all the great saints in all of Vrindavan. Everyone, wherever he would go, they would offer him the greatest respects. So the Brijbasis, they all bowed down to Sanatana Goswami. And They started glorifying Sanatana Goswami, how you live under a different tree on every night, how you renounced all the worldly possessions on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we have to tell you that compared to our Babaji that lives in our village, none of your austerities compare. Who is this Babaji? We don't know his name, but he lives in a hole made by a crocodile. And he hasn't come out of that hole in months, almost a year. And he never eats, he never sleeps. Day and night he's simply weeping tears of love, crying, Krishna, Krishna, Radhe, Radhe, Gauranga, Nitai, Rup, Sanatan. And when Sanatan Goswami heard this, he understood this must be Jiva. Because nobody knew where he was. He was missing in action. So Sanatan Goswami went to that crocodile hole on bank of Jamuna. And Jiva Goswami was so happy to see Sanatan, but he was so weak. He could not come out of the hole. He wanted to offer obeisances to Sanatan. He wanted to stand to receive him. But he couldn't offer obeisances physically, and he couldn't even stand to receive him. He was in such a diseased and weakened condition. So Sanatan Goswami just picked him up personally with his own hands and embraced him. And he brought him back to Vrindavan. And he came to Rupa Goswami, and he, same type of relationship, he said, Jiva Goswami, you are, of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are supposed to be kind to all jivas, but you are not kind to the jivas. You are not compassionate to jivas. And Goswami said, but I'm trying to be compassionate. Why are you saying this? He said, well, look at this jiva. Look at what you've done to him. He said, Goswami, he embraced Jiva Goswami. And he personally, with his own hands, nursed him back to health. Gave him a place. And Rupa Goswami, out of his great love for Jiva Goswami, he saw that all the other Goswamis were worshipping beautiful forms, Radha Govindaji, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha. So Rupa Goswami saw that Jiva so much wanted to worship the Lord in a beautiful deity form that Rupa, with his own hands, he carved beautiful small murti, called him Damodar, and gave that murti to Jiva to worship. Jiva Goswami, after Rupa and Sanatan had left the planet, even before, he became so influential, even Akbar, the great emperor, came to have his darshan. And many, many people in Akbar's court and elsewhere, under Jiva Goswami's instructions, constructed beautiful temples. So the Radha Damodar temple was built for the worship of Damodarji. And all the six Goswamis and their confidential associates, that was their central headquarters and meeting place. And Jiva Goswami, one of his great contributions is he built a library, the only library in all of Vrindavan to hold and to preserve all the books of the great Goswami disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after Rupa and Sanatan had left this world, they, through their blessings and benedictions, they asked all the Vaishnavas to accept Jiva Goswami as the Paramacharya, the supreme Acharya of all the Acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So he became their leader. And in this way, he lived. And there are so many wonderful stories of Jiva Goswami. Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Ramchandra Kaviraj, all of these, the greatest of the Vaishnavas in the next generation of Gaudiya Vaishnava history, they were all the personal students, Shiksha disciples of Jiva Goswami. He awarded Narottam, he awarded the name Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur. Srinivas, he awarded him the name Srinivas Acharya. Ramchandra, he awarded him the name Ramchandra Kaviraj. Duki Krishna, he awarded him the name Shamananda. So in this way, it was a very loving spirit in Vrindavan. We understand that when Jiva Goswami was living, after Rupa and Sanatan had left, Raghunath Das Goswami was still there, and Kashishwar Pandit, Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Gopal Bhat Goswami, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, they were all still remaining. And they were all such powerful acharyas, and all of them had innumerable disciples. Yet they all accepted Jiva Goswami as their leader. They were not in any sense competing with one another. In fact, Srinivasacharya was initiated by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But Gopal Bhatta Goswami sent Srinivas, "You study under Jiva Goswami. You accept him as good as, you accept him as me. There's no difference." And Hridoy Chaitanya, he sent, Shamananda, Duki Krishna, to Jiva Goswami and said, "You accept him as me." And Lokanath Goswami, after accepting Narottam Das Thakur as his disciple and initiating him, he sent him to Jiva Goswami. He said, "You study under him." And you. So in this way, there was such a sense of love and trust amongst all the acharyas that there was no question of, "This is my guru, this is your guru. Don't listen to anybody except me." There was none of this envy. There was none of this competition. They all simply accepted the humble position of servant of all other Vaishnavas. And Jiva Goswami, his position as the leader of the Vaishnavas is simply on the request of Gopal Bhatt and these others who were far senior to him in age and in experience. As service to them, he was training their disciples. So this is the Vrindavan spirit set by the Goswamis. The spirit of great love and great trust amongst all Vaishnavas. And of course, Jiva Goswami, he came to Vrindavan when he was 20 years old, and he lived the entire duration of his life. And yesterday was his disappearance day. Perhaps the greatest contribution of Jiva Goswami was his writings. Prabhupada and many other great scholars consider that he is the greatest philosopher that ever lived. He wrote over 500,000 Sanskrit slokas and over 20 very, very celebrated books. And we offer our humble obeisances, prayers at the lotus feet of Jiva Jiva Goswami. Hare Krishna. Is anyone assigned to give class today? In other words, we do not inquire into the Supreme through the misconception that with my intelligence I will acquire the proper understanding. Real intelligence means to submit yourself submissively to the words of a bona fide spiritual master. That is actually the definition of true intelligence. To realize, I do not know anything. Sanatana Goswami, when he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he presented himself in this way. He was a great scholar of Arabic, of Persian, of Sanskrit. He was thoroughly well versed in all the scriptures. He was a sinless man, but he presented himself as the greatest fool. Because although all this academic information is piled in my head, I do not understand what is the essence, what is the goal of life, who I am, who is Krishna, what is my relationship. Therefore, I'm nothing but a great fool. And I'm such a fool that when people glorify me as being learned, I believe them. So the intelligence of Sanatana Goswami was not based on all he knew as far as the scriptures. The intelligence of Sanatana Goswami is that he came to the conclusion that I know nothing and inquiring submissively from a bona fide guru. Arjuna also, in the beginning of Gita, he was speaking all kinds of intellectual arguments. But his real intelligence began when he understood, "I don't know anything, Krishna." And he inquired pariprashnena sevaya. He inquired submissively with a desire to serve. So this is the only way of understanding the Absolute Truth. Not through our material intelligence. Our intelligence becomes spiritualized when we submit ourselves before a bona fide spiritual master. And then his words become our intelligence, not our own fertile thought patterns. So yes, now that this human form of life, inquire into the absolute truth. But how to inquire into the absolute truth? By pariprasthena sevaya. By following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't know anything. My Guru Maharaj, whatever you tell me, that is truth. Huh? Does that answer your question?
First part.
What's the second part?
The second part was about how the scholars in our line, you know,
but you cannot say all of the great acharyas that we glorify are in such a scholarly position. Gorkhashwar Das Babaji, he was not known as a scholar. He was very simple. In Chaitanya Lila, there were many associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who were very, very simple people. Even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going through the jungles of Jarikanda, there were even lions and tigers and snakes who obviously never read the scriptures, but they became, according to the scripture, they became perfect pure devotees simply by chanting the holy name. So you see, there's the reason why there's many of the exalted acharyas were so scholarly was because they took shelter of the holy name. That's where their glory came. But the fact that they so much scrutinizedly understood the scriptures, they were enabled by the mercy of the Lord to present the conclusion of Harinam Kirtan to the world and convince others. That is their importance. The chanting of the holy name is all that is required. But in order to preach, it is very important that whatever you speak is authorized by the scriptures. And therefore, the people that we're glorifying are those persons who are the greatest, most stalwart, most influential of preachers. And in order to be a stalwart, influential preacher, you have to thoroughly understand the Vedas, especially in those times. But actually, their spiritual advancement, their purification, did not come through that. It simply came by submitting to their Guru Maharaj and chanting the holy names. So therefore, we should be convinced that all we need is the holy name of Krishna. But out of compassion in the service of our Guru to convince others, and also to maintain our own faith in the glory of the holy name, it's important to know the scripture. Does that answer your second question?